So there was a 8-year-old boy and his sister, and they went to church one Sunday night, and the pastor gave a time for testimonies. And this little boy heard the big people talking and sharing things, and he wanted to say something, but he just couldn't think of what to say. So he finally got the pastor's attention, and the pastor called in him, and the young boy thought for a minute, and he said, "I thank God I'm not a donkey." And there was an awkward silence, and the young boy sat down, and his sister leaned over to him and said, "Well, you are one now." So Psalm chapter 1 reminds us to keep from things that will make us like a donkey. And when I say a donkey, I'm talking about thinking the way that the world thinks and living the way the world lives. Instead, we should fortify our minds with the Word of God and think about what God has to say and do what He says to say so we won't act like a donkey. So there is a bulletin insert there and has my outline there for you. And I learned in seminary to try to put the message into a sentence to summarize what I'm talking about. So I've been doing that for 45 years, whatever it is. And my key idea from Psalm 1 is this: fortifying our minds through the Word of God will keep us from sin's destruction. In other words, if we meditate on the Word of God and really do it, it'll keep us from being like a donkey, living like the world does. And we don't want to do that. So we want to study and apply the Word of God. But more than that, I want to encourage you to meditate on God's Word. I think it's good to read the Word of God, obviously, but it's even better to meditate on it, go over it and over it in our mind, and to do that every day, because it'll keep us from getting sucked into the world's mold. So let's talk about the way of the donkey from Psalm 1. First of all, a donkey thinks like a donkey, right? Blessed, verse 1, is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. In other words, this person doesn't entertain the thoughts of donkeys or people that act like donkeys or the world. Several years ago, my wife Mary and I visited Biltmore Estates in North Carolina. Anybody ever been there? Okay, some of you have. And it's just an amazing house. And George Vanderbilt built it in 1895. It took them 6 years to complete it. And the largest home, at least it was, maybe it still is, in the United States. Let me read what it boasts here. 178,926 square feet. Okay, 250 rooms, 43 bathrooms. How would you like to have the assignment of cleaning the bathrooms every week? 3 kitchens, 34 bedrooms, 65 fireplace. The house has an indoor swimming pool and an indoor bowling alley. And then has all kinds of acres, 8,000 of managed woodlands next to 250-acre deer preserve. I can't tell you how magnificent it was because I didn't go in. Because this was like 15 years ago, they wanted $42 a piece. And you don't know me, but I'm really, really cheap. And so they had a bookstore there, and they had a video you could watch, and I did that. Saved, you know, $80, $90. My wife was with me. But I am cheap. My brother-in-law, Steve, says there's 3 levels of being cheap. There's cheap, there's cheaper, and down here, there's Craig. Okay? And it is true. And so I am cheap. But after that time, I was watching a program on the news, and they were talking about how people had gotten rich through investing in real estate. And I got to think about that. And I thought about the Biltmore Estate, North Carolina, all that wealth. And I thought about these people that were getting wealthy on real estate. And I thought, Craig, you're missing it somehow. And you know what? For just a little bit, I started to think about like a donkey thinks. I started to think like a donkey. I wanted to get rich, and I forgot about what the Word of God says, that those who desire to be rich will not go unpunished, and how the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and how we should be content with what we had. So for just a little bit there, I started thinking like a donkey, you know? And I had to get back into the Word of God and get my focus back so I wouldn't think like a donkey. But you know, it's not just money that where people can be off kilter and start to think like a donkey. People are thinking like donkeys in terms of morals today, in terms of the way that people relate, in terms of their values. Yeah, there's a lot of really screwed up thinking today because people have thrown out the Word of God. And by the way, reminds me when I was in North Carolina, South Carolina, I saw a group of gas stations that were named after me, an entire chain. It was called El Cheapo. So I don't know how they found out about me. But anyway, the world has a way of thinking and is totally opposed to the Word of God, totally opposite. And you know what? If we're not careful, and if we're not into the Word of God, and if we're not meditating on the Word, we will get sucked into the world's way of thinking. I guarantee it. People are doing it all the time, and they just don't realize it. Well, that's the first thing a person will do who's a donkey. They'll think like a donkey. And the next thing they'll do is act like a donkey or stand in the way of sinners. Verse 1 again. Once a person entertains the thinking of this world, the next thing we know, they're going to act like it. They'll act like a donkey if they think like a donkey. Years ago, I read a book entitled The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. Anybody have read that book? Great book to read. Quite a few of you had. And he talks about, as a former atheist, he weighs the arguments for and against and how he came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he suggested that one of the reasons, one of the main reasons that people become atheists and they don't believe in God is because they want to live an immoral lifestyle. You know, and the idea is, if there's no God, I can act any way I want to act, and I can do anything I want to do. And that is the reason he said a lot of people become atheists. And I thought that was interesting because it reminded me of a conversation that I had with the son of a very famous atheist, the famous atheist Madeline Murray O'Hara. How many people have heard of that name? Okay. She contributed some things to our society like no prayer in public schools, that kind of thing. That's what she was known for. So her son became a born-again Christian. And he was speaking at a banquet, and I happened to be sitting right at his table. And so I asked him some questions about his mom. And I said, what is your mom, what was she like? She was alive at that time. And he said, very sinful, very angry person, and hard to get along with, and very immoral. She would oftentimes have men into the house that she would have relationships with, and he said she became an atheist not because of intellectual reasons, but because she wanted to live an immoral lifestyle. And I thought that was very interesting. But it is true, if we think like a donkey, pretty soon we're going to act like a donkey. And this is what we have happening in our society. Now, before I came up to work with Brad at Valley View Village, I lived in Keokuk. You know where Keokuk is? Okay? It's as far south as you can go and still be in the promised land of Iowa. As far south as you can go in Iowa. And the community there at the school there, a very small community, small school. And in 1 year's time, there were 38 girls in the high school that become pregnant. Yeah, it's kind of shocking. I thought it was kind of shocking. And the school administrators didn't know what to do. So they came to the churches asking for help and met with some of the pastors. They didn't meet with me. They met with my youth pastor. And they implemented a program called Character Counts. And we have it here in Des Moines as well. You've probably heard about it. But what had happened was that, you know, the school tried to throw out morals, you know? We're not going to tell you what right and wrong is. And sexual behavior, that's totally up to you. And they threw out prayer in school many years before that. And so what happened? Well, we taught them that it was okay to think like a donkey, and pretty soon people were acting like donkeys, right? So this is what happens if we throw out the Word of God. So if somebody thinks like a donkey, won't be long till they're acting like a donkey. And the third thing is that they will make fun of people that don't act like donkeys or sit in the seat of mockers. This came to my attention years ago when I was a youth pastor. Many, many years ago, that was like 40 years ago. I am old. Brad called me young. I'm not young at all. 40 years ago, there was a girl in my youth group, and she told me the kids at her school were making fun of her. And I thought to myself, here's a beautiful, attractive girl, smart, very outgoing. Why would anybody make fun of her? She said, because I'm a virgin. And that was 40 years ago. Just imagine what is happening today. I was shocked when she said that. And of course, that would be more common today. If people aren't doing it right, if they're not living righteously, they will make fun of those who are. And I think this is one of the reasons we're having such great persecution in our country against Christians today. Because we're making them look bad. When I was in high school, I got a summer job working in downtown Chicago. We lived in a suburb, Wheaton, Illinois. And so I had this job working in a printing press, and I was really working hard. And I was doing this and doing that and, you know, sweating and doing everything I was supposed to be doing. And one of the workers took me aside and he said, hey, listen, slow down. You're making the rest of us look bad. You know what I'm saying? And as Christians, when we're doing God's work and we're living the way we're supposed to be living, we're loving the Lord and we're obeying His commandments, we're going to make people look bad and they're not going to like it. And you see, this is the third thing that the psalmist talks about. What donkeys do, people of the world, okay? They think like donkeys, then they'll act like donkeys, and the next thing, they'll make fun of people that are doing it right. So what we need to do, point two in your bulletin there, is to fortify our minds with the Word of God. But His delight, this is the person that follows after God, is in the law of the Lord. And on His law, he meditates day and night. The sinner or the donkey thinks about the things of the world. That's the things that they like to meditate on. And then we have this progression. They act like it and they make fun of the people that are doing the right thing. But the believer is not to do this. He or she is to fill their minds on the things of God, to meditate on the Word of God. To meditate is to dwell upon. It's not to just read over quickly. It is to focus our thoughts over and over upon what God is saying to us. That's how we change our lives. I believe, as a pastor, it's good for everybody to read through the Bible. And one of our residents just this last week, 94 years of age, she's from this church, she said she read through the Bible for the first time. And I thought that's fantastic. It's important to do that. But it's also important to meditate on the Word of God. Take a verse of Scripture and think of it over and over again. That's how we begin to change our lives. Recently, I heard of two Christian authors that grew up feeling like God didn't love them. One person, her name is Sandra Kennedy, and she's from Georgia. And the other is Joyce Myers. Both of them, because of their abuse in their background, just didn't feel in their hearts that God loved them. How they solved that was through meditating on the Word of God, thinking over and over about verses from Scriptures that spoke of God's love for us. And it changed them completely. Meditation on the Word of God is extremely important. I had three boys, three teenagers in my house, and after church down in Keokuk, when I was working all day, I'd come home when they were teenagers. Mary, unfortunately, would be working, and she didn't get home yet, and I knew that I was going to come home to utter chaos. They probably had friends over, that's okay, but there might be a football game going on in the living room, you know, and there'd always be all kinds of food out. I don't know anything about raising girls, but I know boys, when they get home from school, they eat everything. And so there'd be all kinds of foods out. The kitchen cabinets would be open. The place would be a total mess. We had a cat and a dog, and they loved to chase each other. Cat chasing dog, dog chasing cat. And I would come home thinking about what I was going to face, and I just feel, you know, the heat rise in the back of my neck. You know what I mean? So what I did was I began to meditate on the Word of God. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And I would say that verse over and over, and I'd open the door, and yes, there'd be total chaos, but I was able to handle it. Meditation on the Word of God. If you don't do it, start doing it. It'll change your life. I met a young man when I was in college, and he said that he used to read through the Word of God, and it was great, but he said he changed that. Instead, he began to read just one or two verses a day, but he said he would read them and meditate on them over and over again. He said that it changed his life. It'll change your life too. Verse 3 and point 3 is that we will avoid destruction if we meditate on God's Word. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The person who meditates on the Word of God day and night will be like a tree planted by streams of water. He or she will be fruitful in their ministry, in their lives. We talk about the fruits of the Spirit, bearing fruit in our Christian lives, just like Jesus did, just like the Apostle Paul did. We'll be able to do the same kind of things. They will not wither. In other words, when bad things come to them, they won't fall apart because they have submitted their way to the Lord. It's really interesting to me, and Brad has seen this too at Valley View Village. Some people, when they have to make huge adjustments, and it's tough, they give up their homes. Many of them have lost their spouses, and they give up their cars, can't drive anymore. And they go into the health center, the nursing home, and it's really hard to adjust. And some of them just come kicking and screaming, and others just adjust to it so well. I think there's a lot of reasons for that, but I think one of the reasons, people of the Word, people that are meditators on the Word of God, they don't wither. They don't fall apart when difficult things happen. And then it also says in verse 3, they will prosper. I don't mean that believes that that means that we will become rich necessarily, but I do mean believe that it will help us to do God's work much better in whatever He has for us to do if we submit our ways to the Lord. Proverbs says, commit everything you do to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Commit everything you do to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Might not get rich, but we'll be a lot more successful if we commit everything we do to the Lord. Verse 4, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Donkeys, they might look good for a while, but in the end they're going to get blown away. Either because they'll make some stupid decisions that will cost them. For example, I used to have a jail ministry, and I would meet some interesting characters in the jail, and I would hold a Bible study for them. And one man came in, and he had this well-worn Bible. He knew the scriptures as well as I did, maybe better. But he obviously didn't meditate on the Word of God because he got angry one time and he didn't think about what he was doing and he punched somebody right here and nearly killed him. And he was sitting in jail waiting to see if the man that he hit was going to live or die. And I don't know what happened. But here was a man that knew the Word of God, but he didn't meditate on the Word of God. If he would have thought of the verse that I thought of, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ, God has forgiven you, or be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. If he would have meditated on those verses, he wouldn't have hit that guy. He would have walked away. See how important it is to meditate on the Word of God, because if we don't, we might get caught off guard and do something really, really stupid. The wicked are going to get blown away. They're probably going to do something really dumb. It's going to cost them. But for sure, They will stand before God in judgment. All of us will, and they're going to get blown away. But you and I, because we know Jesus as Savior by faith, will be able to stand and will be able to face anything through Jesus Christ as we meditate on His Word. And that's what I'm asking us to do. Don't be a donkey. Don't act like the world, because think like the world, because if you do, you're going to act like the world. And pretty soon you're going to make fun of the things of God. Instead, meditate on the Word of God. Delight in it day and night until it shapes your thinking and your values, and you begin to look more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 1 is a great way to start off this new year, to encourage you to meditate upon the Word of God. So as a sermon response, and I don't know if Pastor Tom gives you sermon responses. And by the way, I like your pastor. He's wonderful. He's been to chapel, Valley View Village, on several occasions. I love his preaching. He is a great man of God. You're fortunate to have him. But I have a sermon response for you, and I think it's printed out there. And that is this week to reread Psalm 1. I'm kind of like Karen, a teacher, giving assignments during the week. Reread the psalm, if you could. And then what I want to ask you to do is to select a special verse from Scripture that's helpful to you and meditate upon it. Maybe you're facing a marriage situation or a financial situation or you're depressed or whatever it is. Find a Scripture that is associated and addresses your situation and meditate upon that until it becomes part of your life and you'll get the victory. Amen? Amen. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we live in a world that is so difficult. We're tempted to be molded and to be cut into the world's mold. We're tempted to think like donkeys and to act like them and to do all the things they do. Instead, Lord, we want to follow your calling for us. And we can only do that through your help. And as we meditate on your word day and night, help us to do it so that we'll be able to stand and not get blown away. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.